How did you know I was looking for it?
Bryden started to suspect long ago. Do you really think you were being so careful? Your nightly raids of the ship? Your pathetic fake escapes? The fearless way you've carried on about the ship? Only a woman who wanted to be here wouldn't show an ounce of fear in front of enemy pirates.
That's not true at all. They don't know me, or what I would or wouldn't do in any given situation. But Traxon's low regard for me is not what hurts the most. It's Raiden selling me out. I know he was playing a part, pretending to be my protector at times. I know deep down this is always the role he was meant to perform, but it still hurts. Can I even call it a betrayal? How can I be betrayed by someone who was never on my side to begin with? My mission was to procure the map without anyone noticing. Then I was supposed to lead the ship to the checkpoint. I've utterly failed the first part, even if I'm on track with the second.
"Take her to my room, gents," Draxon says. "It's about time someone had some proper fun with her."
I frown before realizing this works out well for me. Fighting off Draxon alone while the men calm down is much easier than trying to take them all on at once. I'm hauled forward by three men, one at each arm and one at my legs. I make forced attempts at ripping free from their grasp. I don't scream, though. A promise is a promise, and I told Draxon he would never hear me scream. Raiden's there, too. Draxon gives the map back to him for safekeeping. He tucks the glass into his pocket. Then he's helping the men escort me. I'll bet he's loving this. Giving his brother what he wants is Raiden's specialty. First the map, and now me. Draxon is done pretending he's holding me for a ransom. There's no need to play nice now. They throw me, very ungracefully and ungently, into the room. Raiden stands by the door, apparently wanting a few moments alone with me before his brother arrives. But I don't want that. "Get out," I say. "You've done enough." His expression remains calm, focused.
"Do you still have the knife in your boot?"
I exhale a laugh of incredulity. "Of course not."
"Good. Keep it close. But please, only use it if you have to. He's still my brother. Don't kill him."
"So used to my lies now, are you? You can tell truth from fiction? What are you doing, Raiden? What is your play? I'm sick of trying to figure you out. Just when I think I've got you, you do something else to irritate me. Who are you putting on a show for?"
"No time, Alosa. Get free, and get out of here if you can. That's the best I can do. The map for my brother, and freedom for you. Please, again I'll ask you, don't kill him."
"That's a big gamble you're taking, Raiden. What happens if Draxon overpowers me? How will you feel about that?"
"Oh, please. We both know you're hiding more than your intentions to get the map. You are skilled, Alosa. More skilled than any human girl could possibly be. No one man could get the better of you. I don't know what you are. I just know you've somehow gotten into my head. Then you managed to enchant the whole crew the other day. I'm still trying to figure out why you haven't killed us all already."
The door wrenches free, and Draxon strides in.
"Leave us," he commands,
swiftly and forcefully at the same time. Raiden obeys, then sends one more pleading look in my direction. "Don't kill him." I'm still stuck on Raiden's words. Human girl. He knows. I know he remembers me singing him to sleep. But was it too much to hope he would explain it away as coincidental? But then, why wouldn't he tell Draxon? Or, well, why wouldn't he warn Draxon? It probably shouldn't matter, but it does. I don't know how I feel about Raiden knowing my secret, or at least guessing part of it. I'm still puzzling this all out when Draxon slams me against the wall in his room.
"I'm going to enjoy this. If you had gone along with everything last time, you would have had it good. But not now. Now I'm going to make you scream."
"Actually, Draxon," I say, struggling against his weight, "you're really not." He laughs as he tries to force me toward his bed.
"I've thought about doing this for a long time."
"Me too." Jackson braces my back against the wall. His arms are at my shoulders. I manage to lift both legs, plant them on his stomach, and kick, using the wall to steady me. That sends him reeling backward several feet. I land painfully on the ground. My mind quickly travels back in time to when Draxon questioned me in this room. Some of my blood is still dried onto this floor. Draxon hit me again and again, trying to get me to give him the location to my father's hideaway. I've always lived with the eye-for-an-eye mentality. I send my right fist into the side of his face. I don't have to hold back now. And I don't. I put everything I have into it. I know I've hit sure and sound when I can feel the resulting stinging pain in my knuckles. After being cooped up and holding back for so long, this is bliss. A painful bliss. Jackson grunts from the impact. He's still unsure of what's happening when I send a second strike with my left fist. How does that feel, Jackson? I hiss. Don't worry. We're not done yet. He growls as he tries to see me in front of him. He advances, trying to pummel me with his own fists, but a quick duck, and two strikes later, I land him onto the floor. He utters a few exhausted curses. I'm still not done with him. You threatened to cut my hair. What manner of foul scum does that? How about I cut off something you value, Jackson? He takes in a large gulp of air. Of course that threat would make him scream for help. But I can't have that. One quick kick to the face, and he's out. I get my knife out of my boot. What should I take from him? An ear? A finger? Something from down low? I cringe at that thought. Too gross. Perhaps I should stick this in his heart and be done with it. But Raiden's voice comes circulating in my ears again. Please don't kill him. I've never had a brother. I don't know how I would feel toward him, especially if he behaved like Draxon. I think I'd still kill him. What do I care what Raiden thinks? He's the only one who gets hurt as a result. Draxon won't feel a thing. The pirates under him can always find a new vessel to crew for. Most of them seem more loyal to Raiden than they do their captain anyway. Lord Jeskor isn't around to claim vengeance. But Raiden might. I suppose he might even rally up the crew to join him. I'm not afraid. I get on my knees and find myself staring at the dagger. It's the dagger that Raiden let me keep. He knows I have it. He knows I've had it for a while. But he's trusted me not to abuse it. It was a gift of protection from him. He took everything else I owned away from me. But he let me keep this one token out of good faith. And he trusted me enough not to kill his brother. What a fool. I hover over Jackson's chest, visualize the knife sinking in, imagine the resistance of the skin and innards, hear the sound of the knife sliding between the ribs. But no matter how many ways I think about it, I can't seem to make my hand advance downward. As much as I try to be unaffected by Raiden, for all I'm worth, I can't seem to do the one simple act of killing his cruel brother. I've killed hundreds of men. Why not this one? Blasted Raiden. I try to make myself feel better by thinking it's not worth the time to make the kill. Of course, I've wasted more than a minute sitting here thinking about it. Oh, but never mind that. I need to get that map. I need to find Raiden. Chapter 16. I cautiously peek my head outside of Draxon's quarters. I can't see anyone from where I stand, but it's getting dark. It's hard to tell for sure. No one is needed for steering because we're not moving at the moment. Draxon is biding his time, probably formulating some sort of plan for infiltrating my father's keep if he hasn't already. No matter what he has planned, he will not get far. My father will have scouts everywhere. They might have even spotted the ship already. Over the last few days, we've passed by several small, empty islands. The area is dotted with them. My father has chosen one of the largest ones as the meeting point. We can't be more than a few hours' sail from it. I reach the main deck and take another look around. There's movement by the port side. A few more steps, and it turns out to be Raiden preparing a vote.
Did you kill him?
Is the first thing he asks me. Surprisingly, no. You're welcome.
Thank you. That means more to me than I can say.
I shrug. Is that supposed to be for me? I ask, pointing to the boat he's lowering into the water.
Yes. I've ordered the crew to go below decks. You should have enough time to get to your father's keep. The only thing more I ask is that you give us a head start before sending the Pirate King after us.
If I were to send my father after you, it wouldn't matter how much of a head start you had. The only reason you're not all dead is because he was never looking for you. Raiden looks up from the rope in his hands.
What do you mean? Are you saying that...
My capture was all a ruse. The look he gives me is priceless.
But I thought you decided to make the most of your kidnapping by searching the ship once you'd arrived.
Afraid not. I planned to get kidnapped from the start. My father ordered it. Raiden's face is open confusion.
Why would the Pirate King send out his only heir on such a dangerous mission?
Because I'm the only one he trusted to be successful. I have certain abilities that others do not. Raiden releases his hold on the rope. The boat must have reached the water.
Are you using them now? Is that why I'm doing this? Helping you?
If I were, you would have given me the map already. Since you're trying so hard to conceal it from me, you can rest assured you still have control over your mind.
Your eyes have changed, he says, seemingly randomly.
What?
They were blue when you first got here. Now they're green.
He's awfully perceptive. My eyes are blue when I have the strength of the sea with me. Once it's all gone, they shift back to green. My eyes are blue-green, I say.
No, they've definitely changed.
He leans against the railing, looking surprisingly unafraid.
What are you?
As if I'd tell you.
Are you a siren?
I cringe at the word. It's so strange to hear it coming from Raiden's lips. Not exactly.
Your mother is a siren. That story. The rumor that your father is the only one to have bedded a siren and lived. It's true.
Is there any point in denying it? My father will be hunting down this ship shortly anyway. Yes.
But why are you the way you are? Sirens depend on human men for their survival, but they produce more sirens. What makes you more human than sea creature?
That is an excellent question. You're right. I'm not fully a siren. More half-siren, half-human. And there is something special surrounding my birth. I'll tell you what it is, if you tell me where you hid the map.
Tempting as that is, I can't tell you that. Why don't you get it over with, and make me tell you?
It doesn't work like that.
Then how does it work?
I'll tell you. Just please hand over the map, Raiden.
Sorry, Alosa.
Fine. I'll get it out of you. But I'll have you know I loathe doing this. I reach down to that unnatural part of me. Suddenly, I'm uncomfortable in my own skin. Goosebumps rise on my arms and legs. My hair seems to stand on edge. Mentally, it's exhausting to be so aware of everything around you.
You're doing that thing again, he says. You've changed.
I've never had anyone be able to detect the change in me before. Not even my own father can tell. So how can Raiden? I'm tapping into the part of me that comes from my mother. I hate using it. Feels awful and unnatural.
Does it give you the ability to read my mind?
No. I can only tell what you're feeling. This seems to give him great alarm. His emotions turn from a glowing, vibrant red to light grey almost instantly. Grey is an interesting colour. When it's the dark grey of storm clouds, the emotion is tied to guilt. In a lighter hue, the emotion is grief. A deep sadness has come over Raiden. But the change is so immediate, it causes me to believe he's thinking about something extremely sad to him on purpose, so that I can't get anything else out of him. Are you thinking sad thoughts on purpose? I ask.
It's terrifying that you know what I'm thinking.
Not thinking. I don't know why you're sad. only that you're thinking about something that causes you grief. Now I need to play on his fear. His fear of me finding the map. He won't have hidden it on his person. He had to have known I would search him for it. He'll have hidden it somewhere on the ship. I'll have to gauge his fear if I'm to find it. I start moving about the ship, but I keep him talking as I do. How did you figure out that I'm different? I ask as I walk to the starboard side of the ship. I'm near the entrance that leads below decks. The men laugh and talk loudly. They'd have to be for me to hear it from up here. Probably grateful for some downtime.
That time I woke up and couldn't remember what happened before I passed out. At first, I assumed you'd knocked me out, but I couldn't remember any sort of a struggle. In fact, I remembered something quite the opposite.
I smile to myself. Yes, that was a fun night. Raiden's still trying to mask something with his deep sense of grief. If I were to guess, I'd say he's thinking about his father's death. But there are flares of red that shine through as he talks to me, particularly when he mentioned that night.
But then there was that day when you changed. It was like you were someone completely different. You weren't putting up a fight. You weren't talking like you usually do. It was unnerving. I swear you looked different, too. If I squinted, I could see a faint haze of light around you.
That, he imagined. There is no physical difference when I alter my actions and words, when I call up the siren.
I've known about my father's map since I was a little boy, he continues. I know about sirens, even if I don't understand them completely. I put my limited knowledge together with what I knew of you and your father. It wasn't a hard connection to make. I had my suspicions long before tonight, before you sang to me.
I'm only getting flickers of heat amidst its sadness. No fear. The map can't be over here. I start toward the upper deck. Raiden follows at a safe distance.
Why can't you make me tell you where it is? You made me sleep, didn't you?
Yes, I put you to sleep. Twice. But I exhausted my... I don't want to call them powers. That sounds strange. Abilities. That's why I couldn't put you to sleep deeply the second time. I'm all out.
And how do you get them back?
The sea. She gives me strength. The closer I am to her, the stronger I am. The map's not up here. I stride back down the companionway and head for the bow of the ship.
What else can you do, besides put people to sleep?
Raiden steps back, almost like he's afraid to touch me. When I pass him on my way to the other end of the ship. I can make men see things that are not there. I can put thoughts in their heads. I can make them promises they'll believe. I can get them to do anything I want. All I have to do is sing. I'm not sure I should tell him any of this, though, even if I do believe my father will capture this ship soon. If I choose to, I can feel what men want. I know their every desire. I use that to get what I want. It's something I can turn off and on at will. And lose myself in if I go too far. Raiden freezes at that. Wait, no, there's a flash of black. Of fear. I stop where I am and look around. They're past the center of the ship, where the mainmast extends into the air.
Is that why you act the way you do? He asks.
I think he's trying to distract me. I take a few steps toward Raiden, back towards the mainmast. What do you mean?
The whole time you've been on this ship. Everything you've said and done. Have you been reading me? Giving me what I want? Is that why I feel the need to protect you? Or did you get in my head, force me to feel things I've never felt before?
That stops me short. Raiden, the only thing I've ever made you do is sleep. I have not played with your mind or acted a certain way to toy with you. I only used that on Draxon once to try to find the map. Whatever it is you think and feel, it comes from you. I didn't do anything. The light around him turns blue. You're confused, I say. Why? He narrows his eyes.
Because I don't understand you, and I don't know what to believe.
You can choose to believe what you wish, but I speak the truth. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a map to find. I look upward. The crow's nest, eh? I ask. That must be where Raiden's hidden it. Raiden cocks his head at something behind me.
What are you doing up here?
I was so focused on Raiden's reaction to my moving about the ship, I didn't realize someone was coming up behind me. I'm about to turn when I feel a sharp pain at the back of my head and fall into darkness. Everything is hazy. I can make out a couple of forms, but mostly I feel the rocking of a boat on the sea.
She's waking,
someone says.
She heals faster than I thought. Hit her again.
Blackness greets me once more. Cold. Everything is cold. I feel it at my cheek, clinging to my fingers, seeping in through my clothes. My eyelids are heavy, but I manage to open them. They're met with bars. Am I back in a cell? No. Beyond the bars is not the interior of a ship, but sand and trees. I hear the rolling of waves not far off, though I can't see the shore. I am alone. The trees rustle in the wind. I shiver through the cold. Creatures slither and crawl on the ground, making their way through the undergrowth. The sounds of the night do not frighten me. No, it is the cage that frightens me. I am without song, without my lockpicks, without any company at all. For the first time in a long time, I am truly afraid. It is morning before anyone approaches me. I do not recognize the man. He's tall, though not as tall as my father. Bald on top of his head, a brown beard on his chin. 5 gold hoops hang from his left ear. His clothes are fine, yet roguish. He has a sword and a pistol at his hips, but I can't imagine he has to use them often. He looks as though he's built out of solid muscle. But I bet I could take him were I not locked up. He pulls something out of his pocket, an orb of some sort. Ah, it's the map. He tosses it up in the air and catches it lazily. A show for my benefit.
Do you know who I am?
He asks. His voice sounds exactly as I would expect, deep and demanding. Am I supposed to care? I ask indifferently, as though I'm not trapped. I'm proud of myself for my tone. It masks completely the coiling of nerves in my stomach.
My name is Vorden Serat.
I hide my surprise. I have been kidnapped by the 3rd Pirate Lord, and this time my capture is not planned, at least not by me. I try for faked confidence. Do you know who I am? I ask in return, matching Vorden's air of authority.
You are Alosa Callaghan, daughter of Byronic Callaghan, the Pirate King.
Excellent. Then you already know how foolish you're being for keeping me like this.
Foolish? Not at all. Your father thinks that young Alamos captain has you, so he will not be coming after me. I have it on good authority that you have been depleted of the powers the sea gives you, so you cannot save yourself. I would say that it is you who are being foolish by not being afraid.
My stomach sinks through the ground as my mouth dries. And whose authority would that be?
Mine, says a voice from behind me.
Several men break through the trees. Raiden is among them, but he is not the one who spoke. No. Raiden has 2 pistols pointed at him. They're forcing him to walk in my direction. Why isn't he locked up like I am? Running low on enormous cages, are we? My mind empties as soon as I lay eyes on who spoke. The 4th man who enters the clearing. It's Ferris. He slouches against one of the trees and pulls out his coin, turning it over in his fingers. I shake my head at him. Betraying my father? That will be the last mistake you ever make. Do you know what happened to the last man who fed information to his enemies? My father tied him up by his ankles and sawed him down the middle. Ferris is unaffected by my words.
Fortunately for me, I'm not betraying him,
He doesn't need for me to say so to know I'm confused.
I was never your father's man,
he continues. It takes me longer than it should to interpret his words. But the symbol, he knew my father's mark. He clearly identified himself as serving the Callaghan line.
My reach is deep,
Vorden explains this time, returning the glass-encased map to his pocket.
Callaghan is foolish. He thinks himself untouchable. He doesn't realize that those closest to him are so ready to give him up. And more importantly, give you up.
I turn to Ferris. You weren't on the ship to help me.
No, he answers. I was sent to watch you.
Then who is my father's man aboard the Nightfarer? I say, more to myself.
That was poor Gastel. I'm afraid you slit his throat when Jackson took control over your ship.
What were the odds that one of the two men I killed was my father's man? The guilt hits me, even though I know it's not entirely my fault. My father should have had the foresight to tell me who his informant was aboard the Nightfarer before I faked my capture. Then Gastel wouldn't have died, and Ferris wouldn't have been able to fool me. Father doesn't take these minor details into consideration. What does he care if one of his men dies by accident? There is always someone to take his place. But in this instance, his folly might cost him Draxon's map. And maybe me. Then again, maybe I should have realized that Father would never have asked his informant to help me. He knows I do not need to be looked after. I should have known Ferris was faking from the beginning. Furious with myself, I return back to the conversation at hand. Why did you have Ferris watching me? I ask Vorden. What could you possibly want with me?
You don't realize your own value, Vorden says. Do you think Callaghan keeps you around because you're his daughter? No, Alosa. It is because of the powers you possess. He uses you for his own gain. You are nothing more than a tool to him. I've heard all about Callaghan's punishments, his training, his testing. I know all the horrible things he put you through, and I am here to liberate you.
For a moment, I wonder how he could possibly know so much about me. Then I realize that if he has someone high up in my father's ranks working for him, he would know, well, just about everything. I say, putting me in a cage was probably not the best way to show how much you want to liberate me.
Apologies. This is merely a safety precaution for me and my men while I explain things.
You've explained. Now let me out. Vorden shakes his bald head.
I have not finished.
And I don't want him to. I want out of this cage. Now. But I stay silent so I don't risk angering him. I may not have my song to enchant him, but I can read him. As if I weren't already uncomfortable being locked in a cage with no hope of escape, now I have to call upon the siren. Again. There is a nasty taste in the back of my throat. Goosebumps rise on my skin, and it has nothing to do with the cold. His color is red, the most complex of all. It can mean so very many things. Love, lust, hatred, passion. Really, any overwhelmingly strong emotion looks red to me. Using my best guess, I would say Vorden is feeling the bright red of passion. But passion for what? Vorden is most eager to succeed, I decide. He wants something from me. If only I can be patient enough to hear what it is. Continue, then, I manage to say.
I'm here to offer you a place on my crew. I want to give you the freedom to do as you wish after you help me get to the Isla Decanter.
I am the captain of my own ship and crew. I have the freedom to sail where I wish. Why would I find your offer even remotely tempting? I do not ask in anger. My tone is only objective. I'm trying to reason with him, to remain calm.
Because ultimately, you are under your father's rule. When this is all over, Alosa, when you and your father have all three pieces of the map,
when you've sailed to the Isla Decanta and claimed the wealth of ages, what then? I'll tell you. Then your father will not only still have complete control over the seas of Mineria, he will also have all the wealth he needs to maintain that control. And you will always have to serve him. You will never be truly free of him.
But I will be if I join you, I ask skeptically.
Yes. Help me obtain what your father wants.
Help me reach the Isla Decanta.
Help me usurp Kalagan's rule, and I shall free you. When we are successful, you will be free to go as you please. Do as you wish. Have whatever you want. I shall not bother you or call on you again.
Vorden Serad is a fool. Does he think I could ever trust him to keep his word? Does he really think I would turn so easily on my father? Does he think it a burden for me to serve Kalagan? He's my father. It is the love of family that drives my actions. I do not long for freedom, for I already have it. I have my own ship and crew that are mine to do with as I see fit. Now and again I assist my father when he needs me. He is, after all, the king. And I shall become queen when my father's reign has ended. Vorden expects me to give that up for him. Not a chance. I dare not say any of this, though. I'm still sensing Vorden's feelings and desires. He's hopeful. Very hopeful for something. Agreeing is the only way I'll get out of this cage and have a chance of escape. You're right, I say in an attempt to tell Vorden exactly what he wants to hear. I have been too afraid to break free of my father. I long to be rid of him. I want nothing to do with the Isla Decanta or Kalagan. But if you swear to me that you will grant me my freedom in exchange for my services, I will help you obtain what you seek. Vorden looks behind me. I turn. Varys shakes his head.
She's lying.
I am not, I say through gritted teeth. I was so focused on Vorden, I didn't bother feeling for what Varys wanted to hear. I didn't realize it was he, and not Vorden, who I needed to convince. Varys smiles.
She's using the same trick she used on Draxon. I witnessed exactly how Alosa can manipulate others by telling them what they want to hear.
I may have used my abilities on Draxon, but that doesn't mean I'm using them now, I say. Oh, I know it's pointless. I know now what it was I needed to say, and it's too late to change my response.
You didn't put up enough of a fight, Alosa,
Varys says.
I watched you for a month on that ship. I listened to your conversations and interactions.
At this, he looks pointedly at Raiden. Raiden has not said anything yet. He's watching our captors closely, though, trying to understand the situation so he can get out of it. At Ferris's last words, he looks at me. Just how much did Ferris see, I think, with disgust.
I know exactly how stubborn you are,
Varys continues.
And I know how you feel about your father. You did not defend him as you usually do.
I want to kick him, but he's too far away for me to reach, and I couldn't fit my leg through the bars if I wanted to. An arm, yes, but not a leg. Fine, I say as I try to think of a new plan. What now?
In the likely event that you did not prove accommodating,
Vorden says,
we are prepared to use you in a different way.
I do not like the sound of this. I've put away the siren. I have no way to even prepare myself for what Vorden might be thinking now.
Bring the supplies,
he orders to the two men who still have pistols pointed at Raiden. Instantly, they turn around and leave the clearing. I can see Raiden's mind turning. Even though I can't sense what he's thinking, it's not hard to guess. He's trying to decide how to make the most out of not being so heavily guarded. But before he can take a step, Varys has his gun out and cocked back.
Don't even think about it.
Why is he even here, I ask. You have me. Why would you take a second prisoner? Now Draxon will be out looking for him.
In time,
all will be revealed,
Vorden says. He's enjoying himself too much, and he's eager for what is to come. I guess it didn't matter whether I agreed to join him or not. I wonder if I should change myself. Should I become Vorden's perfect woman, so he will wish to free me? That's the only weapon I have left, but will it do any good? As I glance back over at Theris and his coin, I realize it won't work. If I try something on Vorden, Theris will know, and he'll put a stop to it. I'm helpless. No weapon. No power. At this point, I can only hope someone will venture too close to the cage, or that Raiden somehow frees himself, and then me. Since Raiden isn't too pleased with me at the moment, I doubt he'd want to help even if he did free himself. When Raiden's guards return, they are not empty-handed. Each holds a bucket filled with water in one hand, and something that looks a lot like a stick in the other. I can't tell what they are at first.
Alusa, Vorden says, you are here so I can learn all the skills you possess. For if I can't use you to help me reach the Isle of Decanter, then I will use you to learn all about sirens so I can be adequately protected once I'm there.
An ice-cold dread freezes me. I'm to be his experiment. Chapter 17. What? I say, because I can't think of anything else to say.
I can't very well expect you to be honest about your abilities, so I'll have to determine them for myself,
Vorden says.
Together, Alusa, we will identify all the powers sirens possess.
He doesn't realize how terrifying I find the prospect. How could he know how much I loathe and sometimes fear using my abilities? I hate the way I feel inside and out. I hate the emotional toll they take on me. And then there's the way I change when I have to replenish my abilities. Vorden will have me demonstrate everything over and over. The thought causes bile to rise in my throat. I swallow it back down. I'm only partially a siren, I say in desperation. What I can and can't do will not apply to the creatures you will find at the Isle of Decanter. I am of no use to you. Vorden pulls at the hair on his chin.
That is not true. Even if you are not as powerful as a true siren, your abilities will give me the information I need to prepare for such a venture.
During our quick exchange, Vorden's men have been moving. They place their buckets about 5 feet away from the cage, far out of my reach. They put what looks like a long, hollow, tube-like branch into each bucket.
To start, Vorden says, you will sing for me.
Like hell I will, Vorden smiles.
And that is why the young first mate is here. Theris, show Alusa what will happen each time she refuses me.
Theris pulls out his cutlass and rakes it across Raiden's upper arm, cutting through his shirt and sending blood streaming downward. Raiden winces, but other than that, he shows no sign of pain. Instead, he laughs, applying pressure to the fresh wound.
You're all fools if you think the princess cares whether I live or die.
Theris snorts.
You're wrong, Raiden. Alusa lives by her own rules. She has a strong tendency toward vengeance. She can't stand to see those who have wronged her walk away unscathed. Draxon kidnapped her. He beat her. He humiliated her. He tried to take her body. She loathes him. Yet he's alive. Do you know why?
Raiden looks at me. I quickly turn my gaze downward.
If she didn't care about your pain, she would have killed him. Slowly and agonizingly. The fact that he lives proves there is at least one thing she cares about more than her own justice. You.
That's not true. I owed Raiden. He let me keep my dagger when he should have taken it from me. I settle my debts. He helped me to stay safe, so I didn't kill his brother. It was no more than that. I'm certain of it. Wait, my dagger. From my seated position, I wrap my arms around my ankles, as though I'm trying to comfort myself. I pat my boot. Except for my foot, it is empty.
Looking for this?
Asks Theris, pulling the weapon from his belt, where I hadn't noticed it before. I try to appear as though this doesn't trouble me at all. In reality, I'm outraged. Not only did Theris take away my only hope of escape, but I'm rather attached to that dagger.
Here's how this is going to work,
Vorden says, pulling my attention away from Theris.
I will tell you what to do, and you will do it. If there is any hesitation or deviance from my words, Raiden will sustain another injury. Attempt to use your abilities to escape, and we'll kill him and bring you someone else to enchant. Is that understood?
I send Vorden a murderous glare. When I get out of this cage, the first thing I'm going to do is kill you. Without even waiting for a signal from Vorden, Theris stabs Raiden in his forearm. My eyes widen as I hold in a gasp.
I said, is that understood?
Though it's against my nature, whether that be my human or siren one, I swallow my pride. Yes.
Good. Niphon, Chromis, the wax.
Vorden's men hand him and Theris two wads of yellow-orange wax. Then they each pull out a pair for themselves. Each man inserts the substance into his ears. So clever, Vorden. You think you're invincible. I will find a way out of this. I always do. It's only a matter of time. But I wish the fear penetrating through every limb in my body had the same confidence. I'm not even attempting to hide the fury on my face when Vorden points to the buckets. His underlings each grab one of the thin branches and stick it into their bucket.
Hold out your hands, Alosa,
Vorden says, a little too loudly. No, I won't do it. I can't. I won't be subjected to this. Not again. My mind flashes back to being in my father's dungeon. Manacles clamp around my wrists, chaining me to the wall. My ankles likewise are immobilized, clinking as chains prevent me from stepping more than a foot away from the stone wall.
Relax, Father says, before splashing a bucket of water into my face.
I choke and sputter as the water drips around me.
Take it in, Alosa. Now, let's see how we can make you even more powerful.
I'm brought back to the present by a loud grunt. Raiden has his right hand clutched around his arm. Blood squeezes its way out of a new cut, past his tense fingers.
Hold out your hands,
Vorden demands, this time shouting. Your memories are just memories, I tell myself. Father made you strong. He helped you learn everything you can do. If you survived the Pirate King's pressure and scrutiny, you can certainly take it from any other pathetic, mindless, slimy eel of a man. My self-encouragement passes through me in less than a second. So before Theris can damage Raiden further, I do as Vorden says. I won't look at Raiden. What does my obedience mean for me? What does it mean to Raiden? Niphon and Chromis kneel side by side in front of their buckets. Niphon plugs the end of its hollow branch, lifts it out of the bucket, and hoists it high into the air in front of me. Vorden has thought of everything, it seems. If only Niphon would lower the branch an extra foot, I could reach it. A simple underestimation on their part would be extremely helpful to me right now. But no, Theris has seen what I can do with limited resources. He won't even allow me to get my hands on a stick. I'm caught with anticipation and dread as I wait for what will happen next. Niphon removes his thumb from his end of the branch. The ocean water caught inside now falls into my waiting hands. I let the water slip through my fingers and fall to the ground. But I hope it looks like I absorbed some of it. It's my hope that I can fake my way through this. I can't actually replenish my abilities, not like this. But Vorden will have none of it. He shakes his head in displeasure. Theris drags his sword against Raiden's skin again, this time near his calf.
Do not let the water build up on the ground, Vorden says. Take it all in.
He's worried I'll preserve the water until there's enough for me to do something truly dangerous with it. So long as Vorden and his cronies have wax in their ears, it doesn't matter how much water I have at my disposal. But I don't point this out. I haven't any time to waste if I'm to avoid causing Raiden any more pain. So when Niphon allows more water to drop, I catch it all and absorb it instantly. Nothing escapes me, and my hands dry immediately. The change is instant. The soothing water becomes part of me. It fills the emptiness that I've felt for the last couple of weeks, replenishing my song, strengthening my confidence, easing my fear. I want to feel that comfort everywhere at once. I want to jump into the ocean and swim for the deepest, blackest space so the comfort will never leave me. For a moment, all I can think about is the ocean. I have no cares except to return to her. Nothing else matters. Alosa, it's Raiden's voice cutting through my longing thoughts. I try to rein in the desires of the siren. This is why I cannot replenish my song unless I can take the time to get my bearings. For using the ocean to nourish me opens me to a siren's instinct. And a siren's instinct is not to care about anything except herself, her sisters, and the ocean. This man is nothing to me. What do I care if they kill him? He does not matter. I matter.
Alosa, Raiden repeats.
I narrow my gaze in his direction, attempting to focus my thoughts. Don't become some soulless creature. You are a woman. Think of your crew, your friends, your family. Remember the time you stole a ship and made it yours? Remember how it feels to be a captain, to have earned the respect and gratitude of your crew. Think of the pride in your father's eyes when you please him. Think of Raiden. Remember when you had fun fighting him, sword against sword? Remember the taunts and jabs? Remember the dagger? Remember his kisses? Think of Raiden, who doesn't deserve to die all because you can't control yourself. That does it. I return my gaze to Vorden, awaiting instructions.
Sing to him, Alosa. Impress me.
Vorden no doubt wants to see Raiden dance and perform other ridiculous stunts. Under other circumstances, I think it would be funny to make Raiden humiliate himself. But not now. Not to satisfy a man who has put me in a cage. Raiden is no monkey, and I am no slave. I look at Raiden. He doesn't look afraid, exactly. Just uneasy.
Go ahead, he finally says.
Since Raiden faces me and the men have wax in their ears, they can't tell he's speaking to me.
We'll get out of this eventually. Do what you need to do in the meantime.
Vorden watches me carefully, so I don't risk nodding at Raiden. Instead, I begin. I start with something simple and undetectable. My lips open ever so slightly as I sing a soothing, slow melody. The notes do not matter. It is the intention behind them that gives the song power. It's what makes Raiden do what I want. And what I want right now is to take away his pain. Instantly, his tense arm and leg relax, no longer feeling the cruel slices or the deep gash near his wrist. Then I tear a strip of cloth from the bottom of my blouse and throw it at Raiden. Vorden's men stand, prepared to intervene should I be attempting to make Raiden flee or free me. I should be flattered that they think I can manage something with naught but a strip of cloth. But it is for Raiden's arm. I weave a few more notes into the song, making Raiden tie up his severest wound to staunch the bleeding. I wish I could heal it for him, but my abilities are limited. I can only alter the mind, where I've discovered pain truly comes from. I can ease Raiden's suffering temporarily, but nothing more. I have only a few notes left, so I try to give Vorden what he wants. Raiden stands up straight. His eyes don't glaze over or anything. He looks perfectly normal, as though his actions are his own. But they're not. He does nothing more or less than what I tell him through song. Raiden moves through a couple of combat moves. I make him kick and punch at invisible foes. He jumps through the air, dodging and striking his opponents. Finally, he sheaths an imaginary sword. I release him from my spell once my powers are drained. Then I sit on the floor of the cage. Raiden blinks. He looks around in confusion until he sees me, and everything comes back to him. I did not take away his memories of the song, so he knows exactly what I made him do. He inhales a quick breath. The pain from his injuries comes back to him. I cannot keep the pain away once I stop singing, It was only a temporary relief, but I gave him what I could. It's my fault he's here in the first place. Well, actually, it's Ferris's. But I can't expect Raiden to see it that way. Vorden steps closer to the cage, peering at me intently.
Your eyes truly are the window to your soul, Elosa,
he says loudly, in an attempt to compensate for the wax in his ears.
In less than a minute, they've turned from green to blue and to green again. Such a handy tool to tell me when you have the power of your song and when you do not.
Damn. I hoped they wouldn't be able to tell when I was out. They're observing me too closely. I won't have any secrets left by the end of this.
But back to the task at hand. I think you can do better than that, Elosa.
Vorden says in an encouraging voice that makes me even sicker to my stomach.
Try again.
He points a finger at the other pirate in front of me. This time, Chromas stoppers his branch with his thumb before raising it over my arms, which hang limply outside the cage. This is an act. I want them to think that using my powers weakens me momentarily. Might help me get the drop on them later. I pull the water into myself as it falls. I feel it running through me, rushing into all my limbs. Doubt becomes certainty. Weaknesses become strengths. Fear becomes resolve. These men don't know who they're dealing with. I am power and strength. I am death and destruction. I am not someone to be trifled with. They are beneath my notice. I shall... Elosa. Raiden's voice cuts through my alarming thoughts. Does he know how the siren tries to take me? Or is he merely urging me along because he's scared of what Ferris will do if I don't immediately obey? Whatever the case, I'm grateful he seems to have the ability to bring me back to myself. And quickly.
Elosa, you don't have to do this, he continues.
Again, he's turned away from Vorden and his men, so they can't possibly tell that Raiden is speaking to me.
It's all right. Ignore them. Focus on getting yourself out of this. You're good at escaping, so do it.
I smile at him, despite the situation. Each time I escaped, it was because I planned ahead. I didn't plan this capture. I hope Vorden will assume my moving mouth is the beginning of my song. To keep the illusion, I blur the last word into a note and start a new song. To me, the melody sounds fast-paced, exciting, thrilling. It always seems to match my intention. For this time, I run Raiden through an impressive display of flexibility and dexterity. I make him do somersaults in the air. He runs up trees and flips off them backward. I make him run faster than should be possible with his injuries. He performs stunts I'm sure he can't do on his own. For as long as I know how to do them, he will be able to as well. When I drain myself of my notes, I sink to the bottom of the cage once more. Vorden takes the wax out of his ears. His men, taking his lead, do the same.
Much better, Elosa.
Vorden now has a piece of parchment and a stick of charcoal in his hands. It doesn't matter that the wax is gone now. My abilities are gone, too.
Let's start breaking down the extent of your abilities.
Vorden begins writing with his charcoal.
If I'm not mistaken, you essentially have three abilities. The first is your song. You can enchant men to do essentially anything, so long as it doesn't defy the laws of nature. For instance, you cannot make Raiden fly. How many men can you enchant at a time, Elosa?
I hesitate. Should I lie or tell the truth? Raiden gasps in front of me. Ferris pulls back a bloody sword. Three, I shout. For star's sake, let me think a moment, would you?
There's nothing to think about. Answer, and no harm will come to Raiden. Now, you replenish your song with water from the ocean. And the ocean water only goes so far. You couldn't make Raiden do very much with the amount Chromas gave you. I'm sure the complexity of the instruction will determine how much water is necessary.
And each man's mind is different. That affects the amount too, but I'm not going to bother mentioning that. Raiden's mind is much more steadfast and firm than I'm used to seeing. Enchanting him takes more out of me than most men would normally. After a moment, Vorden looks over his notes.
Splendid. Now,
The power of your song affects the mind. But to what extent?
Ferris has seen you make a man forget.
When you enchanted poor Aiden here the first time, he didn't remember the experience.
Ferris has also seen you put Aiden to sleep. I'm sure you could easily make a man kill himself.
But could you give him a different reality?
Yes, I say quickly, not wanting to risk any hesitation.
Show me.
He puts the wax back in his ears. His men follow suit, and a fresh flow of water is lowered down to me. I look to Raiden as I take it in. For some reason, looking at him allows me to keep a clear head as I feel the water's strength flow into me, something I've never experienced before when replenishing my abilities. I hate playing the puppet, I say. Do you have any ideas?
If anyone's the puppet, it's me, he says agitatedly.
You're the puppeteer.
I look at him in annoyance.
I'm working on one, he says to answer my question. Keep taking orders until I can get it all sorted out.
I don't allow myself to hope as I start singing, closing my eyes and picturing what I want Raiden to see. I imagine a magical world full of new colors and sounds. Butterflies with brightly lit wings flutter around me. Shooting stars pelt across the purple sky overhead in rapid succession. A nearby body of water sends sprays of droplets flying into the air at impossible heights. Birds larger than whales soar overhead, featuring feathers in reds and blues. I put together the first random elements that come to me, adding more and more detail until I'm satisfied. Then I open my eyes. Raiden bears a look of sheer wonder and astonishment. He reaches out in front of himself as if to touch the invisible creatures I've placed in front of him.
Beautiful, he says. Alotha, Vorden says, project that image onto Theris as well.
I see now that Theris has handed his pistol to Vorden. He removes the wax from his ears and places it into his pocket. I quickly expand the song to encompass him also, relieved now that Theris is unable to hurt Raiden. He, too, is soon amazed by everything around him. He spins, trying to see every bit of the magical world I'm showing him. My mind reels as I try to think of something I could do now that I have one of Vorden's men under my influence. With Raiden and Ferris, the fight would be 2 against 3. But I haven't enough song left after my projected world to make Raiden and Ferris do anything substantial. Vorden is so very careful not to give me any scrap of power over him. But I wonder why he'd bother having me enchant one of his men at all. If he's so curious about my abilities, then why not offer himself up?
Excellent, Vorden says, scratching his charcoal quickly over the parchment. Now release Ferris.
I do. Ferris instantly looks all around him, adjusting to reality, then replaces the wax in his ears. Vorden returns his pistol to him.
Now show me something really impressive, Vorden says.
I look from Ferris to Vorden, raising an eyebrow in confusion.
Make Raiden see something horrible. Make him feel pain that isn't really there. Show me how men are at your mercy.
Chromis releases another rush of water, and I barely catch it in time. I feel as though icy needles puncture my stomach. He can't expect me to... I stopped singing as the water seeps into my skin. Raiden is released from the fake reality I've given him. I feel my mind drifting away from me. These men are all dead. Once I get my full strength, I will reduce them to shreds of flesh. I imagine the way my body will change, the strength I will have. I see myself pulling all 5 of them down to the ocean's floor, watching their eyes as the life drifts out, feeling their bodies squirm until they're caught into oblivion.
Alotha.
It's as if I've woken from a deep sleep, though my eyes have been open the whole time. I've drifted off to my own alternate reality, my alternate self.
It's okay, Alotha.
Come back to me, Raiden says. I turn my gaze to him.
Whatever it is they've told you to do, do it.
He won't have heard the order, not when he was caught up in another world.
We'll get through this. Just keep going.
I can't. What does it matter if I let them cut Raiden because I hesitate? Either way, he'll be hurting. But the pain won't be real if you sing to him, I try to tell myself.